Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 128. The Lindy Effect. It's always been interesting to me that the undercurrent of evaluating the efficacy of something in the modern world regarding its lifespan, right, in relation to its lifespan, is that newer is better. And I know that that's very convoluted. What I mean by that is that in the world that we live in now, when we want to decide whether or not something is good, right, good at what it does, really, it's as simple as that, in relation to how old it is, the modern belief is that newer is better. If you think about technology, or social media, or television, or, I know those are all media examples, but if you think about anything that comes out, a book maybe, we think that the newer thing is the better thing, right? Think about anything. Think about a textbook. Edition 4, right? Updated and expanded. Or the new iPhone, I don't know, 16, 17, whatever. The modern ethos, right? The zeitgeist tells us that the newer thing is the better thing. And that might seem self-evident. But obviously, the newer technology is better. Obviously, the newer car has more safety features. The newer car has better performance. It has better engineering. We've gotten better over time. And in some ways, you can see why people tend to believe this. What I want to talk about today, though, is the reality that this hasn't always been the case. Today, we're talking about the Lindy Effect. Now, the Lindy Effect is the theory that for any non-perishable thing, right, we're not talking about food, we're not talking about animals, we're not talking about people, but for any non-perishable thing that doesn't have an expiration date per se, the amount of time that it's been around is directly proportional to the amount of time that we assume it will be around, right? Simply put, the longer something has been here, the longer we expect it will be here. And that, in some ways, also makes sense if you think about it, right? It's like a proven track record. First thing I want to talk about is where the name comes from, and then we'll go into some examples. So, as far as I'm aware, the Lindy Principle, there's this story that the way it came about was a group of comedians sitting at some, I think, comedy nightclub, and it's Lindy's or something was the name of the club. And they were discussing this phenomenon that they'd observed, that they realized that every comedian who had some sort of stage show or something, or maybe a TV show on TV, the more material he'd released, the more he seemed to have in his backlog, right? So if a comedian had been on the circuit for 40 years, let's say there was 40 years worth of material that he still had in his back pocket. And they developed this idea, right? Discussing the fact, this observation that they had, they developed this idea that the longer something had been here, right, like the comedian, the longer he would be here. And then the idea was picked up by Nassim Taleb, who I think mentions it in his book Anti-Fragile. I've never read Anti-Fragile. I've read some of its work, but I'll link that below for you so that you can take a look at that if you'd like. I do, by and large, like Nassim Taleb, because I'm really interesting ideas. I think the book that I read from him was Black Swan, but I digress. But that's what the Lindy Principle is, right? Is longer something's been here, the longer we think it will be here. And I want to dive into some examples so we can see why this idea might not be as crazy as it sounds, right? And I'll tie it into the sort of zeitgeist of thinking newer is better in a minute. Horses, right? How long has mankind been riding horses? Now, the practice of riding horses is largely out of vogue, but we still do it, right? Horses as a means of transportation have been around for thousands of years. So you might, you know, come to the conclusion, and I think very validly, that because they're entrenched so deeply in our society, that they're so ubiquitously used, that we'll use them for a long time going forward. Or paper, right? We've been writing on paper forever, and there's been a lot of technology that not only competes with paper, but has a lot of upsides over paper, right? A lot of people use digital devices to write down now, right? You have a laptop, you have a phone, but I think all of us still write on paper for some reason or another sometimes. Maybe you're on the phone, you grab a quick scrap of paper, or a quick scrap of paper, you grab a scrap of paper quickly to make a note about what the person on the phone is telling you. You could have gone on speaker and maybe typed it out on your phone, and maybe some of you do that. But the longer something's been around, the longer we hypothesize it will be around. But why does that matter? And what does that have to do with newer is better? Well, maybe you're starting to get an idea here, but I'll just go ahead and say it explicitly. Newer isn't better. Newer is newer, and better is better. If you think that because something is newer, it must be better, or it is far more likely to be better, I want to challenge that belief for the next 15-20 minutes. The belief that newer is better has led us to recklessly adopt new technologies, new ideologies, new beliefs, without knowing the repercussions of them, right? I remember when vaping first came on the scene, right? And I've mentioned on the vlog before that I used to smoke cigarettes regularly. So I've, of course, tried a vape before, and I had one for a few months here and there. But I remember a lot of people saying, oh, it's safer than cigarettes. And of course, I think by and large, and I'm not an expert on this, but I think by and large that that's probably true. But nobody knew what exactly the health risks were. And now that it's been enough time, we're starting to see a lot of problems. Right, I still remember this condition. I think it was called popcorn lung. I don't know if that's the name of it. I remember that being the name, but where people would get some sort of like inflammation of their lungs from vaping. So it came with its own problems. We just weren't sure. Or social media, right? Social media is something that I think a lot of people who are trying to be, let's say, as most effective with their time as they can be, lament over. Right? In the beginning, MySpace and Facebook and maybe Twitter and Snapchat were just invented as a way for you to use digital media to keep up with your friends or see pictures or read messages, right? Microblogs. And it has morphed into something that is completely unrecognizable. A lot of times with these newer technologies, the novelty of it is almost used as a bait and switch to get you to adopt them. And sure, sometimes they are more convenient, but I'm quite firmly convinced that convenience is a trap. Right? When it comes to digital media, when it comes to doing things digitally as opposed to analog, I tend to have a rule at this point where I try to bias the analog. And we'll get into that a little bit later, my recommendation that flows out from this. But you can see that things that have a proven track record might have just as much of a claim to better as things that are novel, maybe even more so. And Dahlia's in the corner over there making her noises. There was a common practice in ancient China that I read about when I was reading about the Lindy Principle, that if a book wasn't at least 500 years old, people didn't even consider it worth their time to read it. Right? It had to be weathered. And this was the general, call it, perspective of most of the ancient world. Right? There was a practice of people pretending to be another author, an older author, when they wrote their works for credibility. Of course, I don't endorse people lying about where the authorship of a work lies, but the point it illustrates is that people so valued ancient wisdom that sometimes authors would lie about who wrote something just so that everyone else would at least take it seriously. That's the degree to which people were biased towards something that was older. Right? If I put up two bridges and we don't have any ways of, let's say, assessing whether or not those bridges are good, and one of them has been up for 50 years and the other one I put up yesterday, you might be a little nervous about the one I put up yesterday because you don't know if it's any good. You might also be nervous about the one that I put up 50 years because you're wondering if it's going to fall apart because of how old it is, right? But you can see the argument going both ways. Now, at this point, you might want to consider, right, real-life examples for yourself. How many times has the adoption of a new practice, of a new technology, come with unintended consequences, right? There is an example from, I want to say, Yosemite National Park, but I might be getting that wrong. There's a national park somewhere in America where they wanted to remove all of the natural predators in that park. And the only ones that were left were wolves. So they went out, they grabbed some rifles, they went out, and they hunted the wolves in that park to extinction. And now the park was completely safe because all the natural predators were gone and people could go there and hang out. And sure enough, over the course of the next 100 years, the deer, who were no longer under the threat of a predator, started to multiply aggressively. They started to ruin the environment. There were so many of them. They were eating trees as they were growing. They were eating grass and everything. The soil became unstable, right? Because the tree roots weren't there to keep everything locked in anymore. And very quickly, the ecological situation became a disaster. So I want to say sometime in the late 90s, they decided that we had to put some wolves back in, right? This is the only idea we have at this point to curb the deer population. So they released 14 wolves. All it took was 14 wolves to completely correct the situation in this national park, right? The deer population went down. They started avoiding certain areas because that's where the wolves were. The trees started to grow again. The river path changed because the trees that were now able to grow would stabilize the soil to the point where the river flowed slightly differently. All of that from 14 wolves. Now, of course, that has nothing to do with the Lindy principle, but the point is that this attempted improvement had some very unintentional consequences. Right? I heard this analogy, this metaphor once, that said something along the lines of when a conservative sees a fence, or the difference between a conservative and liberal person, but politically, is that when the conservative sees a fence and says, I don't know why that fence is there, his instinct is best to leave it up. We don't know what it does. When a liberal person sees that fence, he will say, I don't know why that fence is there. Well, I have no idea, so we may as well just tear it down. Now, without making a statement on politics one way or the other, right? That's not really the purview of this podcast, right? I feel like we don't really talk about that. I have no interest in talking about that. There's plenty of other stuff that we can cover. When it comes to making selections about how you would live your life, when it comes to selecting the toolkit that you want to employ to be the most effective man you can be, it's the idea of leaving good things be that many times will keep you safe from unintentional consequences, right? When it comes to small improvements that ultimately aren't going to be big movers and you're not really trying to experiment and figure out something better, that's the way you ought to do it, right? Of course, we want to balance this with the idea of experimentation and iteration, but when it comes to something like technologies, let's say you have a perfectly adequate system of waking up, right? You have an alarm and it goes off and you wake up and then you go and you turn it off and it's all fine. And you're trying to introduce a new alarm, but a new alarm just came out. And you don't know the mechanism of it, but it's a new technology and you want to try it. It might have unintended consequences. Now, that's not to say you can't try it, but I found that many of the problems that I struggle with on a daily basis can be solved by rewinding the clock, in a manner of speaking, right? And we're now transitioning from the idea of the Lindy principle to what I think you should do with this practically. And I'll give you some examples here. I recently purchased, 2-3 months ago, two paraffin oil lamps, right? And if you can't really visualize what that means, right, you've never heard that before, I didn't know that that's what they were called until I bought them. It's this glass, call it like base, that's hollow, that contains the fluid, which in this case is paraffin oil. Paraffin oil is just a refined product of petroleum, I think. It has a handle on it, and then at the top you screw in a little base with a wick, and then on top of the wick goes a long glass dome. Kind of like a funnel chimney type situation. You can look this up. It's a handheld oil lamp. And every day at 8:30, I turn off all of my electronic lights and I light my paraffin oil lamps. They're very efficient. They're clean burning. And I got this gallon of paraffin oil. It's going to last me forever. Why am I doing that? My entire apartment is equipped with electric lights. I have light bulbs everywhere. Well, it turns out in our ever-expanding quest to do better than nature, to do better than God, we keep messing up. Whichever side of the spectrum you're on, if you're in the newer's better camp, or if you're in the older's better camp, you have to accept the reality that we keep messing with things. Right? I've made this argument before that even the dumbest single-celled organism in this world, right, bacteria, when it approaches something that is dangerous for it, like acid or fire or the water's too cold, the little bacteria will swim towards it and will say, oh, this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. It's dangerous. It's going to swim away. A single-celled organism has self-preservation. But 12-year-old humans are intentionally killing themselves. We failed as a species. By any metric, we failed. We failed the most basic test of viability. Suicide. So what are we doing wrong? Well, we're constantly trying to do better in ways that don't really matter. There's lots of ways where it does matter, right? I will talk about some modern inventions that I think are great in a second. But in many ways that don't matter, we're constantly trying to be lazy, right? And of course, this is an instinct that we have as humans, right? We want to be lazy, we want to conserve energy. But in the modern world, we have to fight that. Now, of course, some things that I think are great are like modern surgical interventions, right? If I break a bone, I can go to the hospital and they can, you know, cut open the flesh, they can put me under anesthesia, they can realign the bone, they can put in metal rods if it needs to be stabilized, they can sew it back up, put a cast on it. That's all great. Or let's say like a pacemaker or something, or an AED, right? If somebody has sudden cardiac arrest, I can find an AED nearby. I can shock that person back into a steady rhythm. Those things are great because we're trying to solve a very critical need. But when it comes to, oh, I just want to be more comfortable, right? Maybe that's not worth it sometimes. Maybe there's an unintended consequence. So what does this mean for you practically? Right? Let's continue that thread. I've come to the heuristic that when I have a problem, when I'm struggling with something like, let's say, sleep, right? And I'll expand that example a little more in a second. But when I'm struggling with something like sleep, for example, or let's say body composition, or I don't know, fatigue, and I know I'm thinking of a lot of physical problems, or attention, let's say, right? Discipline, attention. The first thing I'll try is rewinding the clock 50 years. If that doesn't work, I'll try rewinding it 100 years. And I'll usually experiment in that direction because I know by and large that an organism isn't supposed to feel this way, right? A creature isn't supposed to feel this way, right? If we're talking about wakefulness, for example, unless there's something wrong with it, a dog is not going to feel incredibly fatigued all day long. He's going to have energy when he's supposed to. So what are we doing differently? Well, diet, sleep habits, those kinds of things. Which brings me to the paraffin lamp again. Why am I not using the electronic lights in my apartment? Because we are a darkness-deprived society. Humans need darkness to help signal the circadian rhythm. Out of the 11 million sensory receptors that you have, 10 million of them are visual. We are hugely, hugely sensitive to light. And by constantly exposing ourselves to lights in spectrums that are unnatural at the time of day that we're viewing them, our body's completely confused. The body has no idea what time of day it is. You might be able to check your clock and say, oh, it's 8 p.m. The body doesn't have a concept of 8 p.m. The body has a concept of sunrise, sun in the sky, sunset. Except low red lights don't trigger wakefulness at all because of campfires. So if you visualize the eye for a second, light from the bottom, light below you, hits the receptors at the top, right? It comes up, and light above you hits the receptors in the bottom. So we have receptors in the bottom of our eye that are tied to wakefulness. And we have receptors in the top of our eye that are not influencing our wakefulness in that way. So if you're using fire at 8:30 p.m. like I am, right, to light everything, of course, you need to be careful with this stuff. Don't set your apartment or house on fire, obviously. That's going to help you feel tired when you're supposed to feel tired. There are two things that I changed recently. I've talked about sleep before, right? We have a whole field log on this. It's called Rise Early. Well, I've been having a lot of trouble rising early recently. Today was the first day I've woken up on time in probably months, right? It's 7:30 and I'm up, thank God. There are two things that have changed recently that have helped me sleep through the night, right? I may wake up one time. That for me has never happened before in my life, ever. That I sleep through the night and just wake up with my alarm. The two things that changed, one, all electronic lights are turned off. It was 9:30, I moved it to 8:30. 2 hours of no electronic lights. My phone goes into a basket, it's plugged in, I don't use it. And the other thing is that phones leave the bedroom. Right? Electromagnetic frequencies. There's, you know, some of the science is still out on this, right? We don't know 100% for sure, but I can tell you from personal experience that when I don't sleep with my phone in my room, I sleep so much better. So now I'm sleeping through the night. So now when my sunrise alarm goes off at 7:30, right? I try to sleep for 9 hours. I usually need 9 to 10 because I do weight training. The body needs more sleep when you do that. My sunrise alarm goes off. I'm still tired, but I slept through the entire night. So of course, now I'm trying to get to a point where I'll feel more alert. The next thing I'll tackle is probably diet. I'll probably try to remove inflammatory foods, but that's a topic for another time. The takeaway for you here today is to do the usual exercise, right? Whatever it is that you're doing right now, if you're drinking your coffee, if you're sitting on the couch, if you're driving, if it's safe to do so, I want you to pause whatever it is for a second. And I want you to schedule some time today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, or next year, today, to think through, let's say, 2 or 3 problems you've had. And for each of those problems, I want you to just randomly generate ideas, 2 to 3 ideas for each problem, that would attempt to just take that situation and do it the old way. Do it the traditional way, do it the, I guess you could call it, Lindy way. If old practices have more longevity, there must be a reason for that. It's a general observation some people made, right? It's a heuristic. I understand that. It's not proof. It's a heuristic. But I want you to try that today, right? For example, you've been sleeping poorly. Try changing things related to sleep that turn back the clock. If you've been feeling less motivated, try changing your entertainment options, right? Less TV, more reading, so that your dopamine won't be out of whack. Do that today and see what works. And going into the future, try doing things the older way. Try doing things the traditional way to leverage the power of the Lindy effect. That's it for this week's Field Log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for field log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the marcian.cx project, so check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.